The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Does the Bible really say that the last days will only get worse and worse?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
It's a very practical question, not just theoretical, but practical. If everything is going to get worse before Jesus returns, if morality is only going to go down the tubes, if the government's only going to get more corrupt, if spirituality is only going to get more apostate, why bother trying to bring about positive change? Win as many people to the Lord as possible, and we're out of here. Why be pro-life? Why push back against wrong aspects of cultural activism? Why do any of that? Let's just live our lives, win the lost, and get ready for heaven. A practical question. We're going to address it today. Thanks for joining the broadcast. This is Michael Brown. And the number to call on this subject or any, I'm going to open the phone lines like I do on Friday. Why? On Monday? Because it's President's Day. It's a holiday for some. So maybe you're able to call when you normally can't. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. Those of you that differ with me on something, want to give me a piece of your mind, we pay for the airtime so you can call in and do it. So go ahead. Those really struggling, you're trying to work through in the Word or in your own spiritual life and just need some help, here we are. Here to infuse you with faith and truth and courage. Help to, our desire is to equip you, to empower you. Because you're living in your world. You're living wherever you are, it's the front lines. I've said it endlessly, but it's the truth. Whether you're a student on a college campus or a student in middle school, whether you're a homeschooling mom, whether you are a ditch digger, whether you are preaching behind the pulpit, whether you're a computer programmer, whether you're in social media as an influencer, whoever you are, wherever you are, you're in a battle if you're standing for Jesus. If you're seeking to walk in the light in the midst of dark places, you are in a battle. So if we can help you in the process, we're here to do that. 866-34-TRUTH. So let's look at several scriptures, the principal verses that are normally brought forward to say that things will only get worse before Jesus comes. Therefore, we shouldn't really be fighting the culture wars. We shouldn't really be engaged in those areas because everything's inevitably going down anyway. So why bother to bring about change at all? Or are there verses that tell us that's the case? So let's take a look. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 24. So Jesus is teaching on the Mount of Olives. His disciples have said, when will these things be? The destruction of the temple. What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So they're putting two or three different things all at the same time. And he answers in a layered way. So you have answers about their day and about the final days all sandwiched together. He answered them, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Messiah, and they will lead many astray." All right, so that was a warning right for them. In other words, it's not just at the end of the age, many will come claiming to be the Messiah, and they're not, and will lead many astray. But right then in their day, he's warning them, all right? So you have to realize it's not just an end-time deception about false Christ, false prophets, false apostles, but something that was relevant right then. For many will come in my name saying, I'm the Messiah, and they'll lead many astray. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of birth pains. So this is something for then, perhaps for the end of the age as well, but certainly for then. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation, put you to death. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached, proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So let's step back from that passage and say that it certainly does warn about false prophets, about false messiahs, about deception. And much of it does apply to the end of the age, but it also applied to their age. In other words, this is something that the followers of Jesus and lovers of truth have had to deal with through the centuries. False teachers, false apostles, false prophets, false messiahs, whatever names or titles they have. And with this, it does say that let's just say this is all about the end times here, okay? It starts speaking of their day, but now is ultimately focusing on the end times. Let's just read it like that. So yes, there will be great deception in the last days, but there will be great lawlessness, and the love of many will grow cold. At the same time, this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. So there's definitely going to be a final battle. As much as I would like to embrace the post-millennial position that says that the gospel will triumph through the whole world and we will enter the millennial kingdom after which Jesus would return, as much as I'd like to do that, I can't do that based on many scriptures. But certainly, if we take this as an end-time prophecy, it does say there will be end-time deception, false messiahs, false apostles, false prophets mentioned here specifically, and increase of lawlessness, wickedness, because of which the love of many will grow cold. So there's definitely going to be bad stuff happening. Is that the whole of it? Is that the whole picture? Is that everything that is written there? Now, when you go through the rest of the Gospels, you'll have some parallels to this account, the Olivet Discourse that Yeshua's teaching on the Mount of Olives, so Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, but nothing more to really elaborate on this particular point. So for that, let's go over to the letters of Paul, all right? Let's take a look in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and see what Paul writes there. But understand this, writing to Timothy, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty or perilous times. The Greek word used for perilous is used elsewhere in the New Testament talking about the demoniac with the legion of demons. So you're talking about pretty bad stuff. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Oh, hang on here. First, doesn't this description sound like it could have been read almost any time in human history? People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not living good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. First thing, it sounds like our day. It sounds like the last generation. It sounds like the generation before that. It sounds like human history in biblical times, human history today. That's the first thing. Second thing, Paul says to Timothy, avoid such people. He said, well, I don't get it because he's giving a prophecy about the final days on the earth. No, he's not. He's talking to Timothy about these last days in which we live. The New Testament consistently teaches that we are in the last days, the period from the death and resurrection of Jesus until his return in the New Testament is called the last days. It's not simply the last days before the destruction of the temple. It's much broader than that. We have been living in the last days for 2,000 years. That's why Paul is talking to Timothy about it. Otherwise, ask yourself this question. Why would Paul be telling Timothy, now you understand this, a few thousand years from now, it's going to get really bad. Why would he be telling him that? Why would I be warning you today about a tsunami that's going to take place in Asia in the year 4000 or a financial crisis that's going to take place in America in 3500? Why would I be talking to you about that today? And more importantly, why does Paul end with saying, avoid such people? In other words, Timothy, just because the Messiah has come and the kingdom of God is advancing, it doesn't mean it's all peace and righteousness and joy here. It's going to be rough here. These last days in which we live are difficult, perilous times. So be aware, Timothy. But this is not just a prophecy of the end. This is a prophecy about life in this world over these last couple of thousand years. It's practical advice to Timothy as well. And how about this? Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. There, Paul says this. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage, and who require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. So he's telling Timothy, the Spirit is speaking expressly about deception in these later times in which we live, not just the end of the age. Wasn't there deception in Paul's day? Isn't Paul dealing with deception in his letters? Aren't the other apostles dealing with deception in their letters? Aren't they warning against false prophets and false teachers in their day? Weren't they talking about people falling away in their day? Wasn't Jude saying we have to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints? Doesn't 2 Peter 2 say, just as there are false prophets among the people in Israel, so there are false teachers among us today? Doesn't Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 warn about false apostles who are really servants of Satan? Doesn't Jesus commend the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2, which tested those who claimed to be apostles and were not? So these are things that have been dealt with. Doesn't Jesus warn in the Sermon on the Mount in the 7th chapter of Matthew about false prophets and beware of them, they're wolves in sheep's clothing? So there was deception, there was heresy, there was apostasy, there were false apostles, prophets, teachers, false messiahs, right there in the first century in New Testament times. And that's why Timothy is getting practical advice from Paul as to how to deal with these deceptions in these last times in which we live. You cannot just say this is about the final age, because this has been with us in church history to this moment and going back 2,000 years. And the Word of God is helping us understand how to deal with these things. You say, but doesn't the Bible clearly say that the last generation will be the worst of all? Well, let's take a look at that, and let's take a look at some positive things that the Bible tells us we can expect in the last days. My understanding is that the closer we get to the end, we will see parallel extremes. We will see the greatest outpouring we've ever seen and the greatest demonic activity we've ever seen. We will see the greatest harvest and we will see apostasy. We will see the Holy Spirit moving and we will see satanic counterfeit. And it will only increase and intensify. The heaviest persecution, the greatest glory within the body, will only intensify until the final manifestation when Jesus appears and destroys Satan himself and the Antichrist. All right, we'll take some calls, 866-348-7884. Do a little more teaching, and then we'll go to the phones. Stay right here.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. Being aware of the dangers of homocysteine is crucial to protecting our health. This natural occurring amino acid that the body creates plays a vital role. But when elevated in excess, it can pose significant risk to our health. One of the dangers of elevated homocysteine is the impact on cardiovascular health. Research has shown that high homocysteine can contribute to heart disease, stroke, and other cardiovascular conditions. Another risk factor, it has been linked to cognitive decline and neurodegenerative conditions. One of the best ways to manage homocysteine is to supplement with B12, B6, and folate found in Trivita's HCY Guard. In my own wellness journey, I was concerned because of family history. My grandfather passed away at 41 years of age with heart failure. My father was diagnosed with heart disease at 38 years of age. When I was made aware of the dangers of homocysteine, I knew I would find a supplement formula to help manage my own health. It was with that knowledge that ACY Guard was developed at Trivita Wellness. It is a favorite supplement for those wanting to manage homocysteine and promote cardiovascular health.
To order HCY Guard for yourself or someone you care about, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. 1-800-771-5584 or online at TRIVITA. Trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks to our co-sponsor, Trivita, for standing with us. Yeah, I really encourage you to check out the products because they've been a blessing to me. And because we know a healthy church starts with a healthy you, so healthy diet. These are not substitutes, they're supplements, healthy diet, lifestyle, and these supplements go a long way in increasing your productivity, health. And if you haven't gotten to the healthy diet yet, okay, start with a supplement and then maybe that'll encourage you to go to the healthy diet. But check out these great products, and we appreciate Trivita's generous donations, 100% of your first order given to the Line of Fire, more than a tithe of all subsequent orders, 800-771-5584. Tell them Dr. Brown sent you. Actually, you don't. That's our special phone number, 800-771-5584. Or online, go to trivita.com. Use the code BROWN25. Hopefully it's win-win for everybody. You get some great health products. We get to reach more people with the good news of the Messiah. Okay, I'm going to go to the phones, random subjects, anything you want to talk to me about, 866-348-7884. There are a few other verses in the New Testament, so I'll go to the phone shortly. A few other verses in the New Testament that Paul writes, for example, in 2 Timothy 3 about evil men will go from worse to worse. It doesn't mean that the human race is only degenerating. If that was the case, if the human race was only degenerating through the ages, we would have completely wiped each other off the planet, and there would have been no positive progress, moral change. And yet there's been great progress around the world in many, many ways. In many ways, the world is better now than it's been before. In many ways, standards of living have raised, and in many ways, treatment of others, there's been more accountability in things. And then there's wickedness and perversion, and through internet, we've been able to send things out more and multiply it more, and on and on and on. Okay, so we're dealing with those realities. But just look at progress in America from abolishing slavery, segregation, progress in other ways. Those in the pro-life movement, overturning of Roe v. Wade, these are positive things. And then other things going in the other direction. But every generation, there's a battle. That's the reality until Jesus comes. That's what I understand. And every generation, there's a battle. And my goal, look at it like a chessboard, okay? Those of you that play chess. And then picture, it's infinite chess. It's billions of pieces on this massive board that's in all different dimensions, right? And we come on the scene with the chessboard in a particular position, and maybe we're in a losing position to the opposition, to the spiritual forces against us. My goal is that when I leave this earth, I put the chessboard in a better position for the next generation. That whatever God's called me to be involved with has advanced in positive ways and has gone in positive ways to glorify Jesus and to see more people reached, and any ministries I've called to have grown and enhanced, and we've been able to shine more light than darkness. That's my goal. But I understand that there's going to be a tussle until Jesus returns, and that at a certain point when critical mass is reached, when the harvest has reached critical mass in the nations, and the state of the body has reached critical mass in a positive way, and critical mass has been reached with the salvation of Israel, then it's all over. Then we get to the end of the game, and then we move into the next phase of God's work on the earth and in eternity. But some say, but look, just take the witness of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. So Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. There's an order there. There's a progression. And Ephesus is the early church that loses its first love. And then Smyrna is the church under persecution. And it just goes from there. And then Pergamum, there is heresy. And Philadelphia, that was kind of like an evangelical revival with the Wesleys and others and into the centuries. But then Sardis, before that, but then at the end, Laodicea, the church in apostasy, and that's the church of today. You say, I'm rich, increased in wealth, have need of nothing. Don't realize you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. So the seven churches of Asia Minor, they're actually seven church eras. They're seven church periods, and we're in the final period. Why do I reject that? I reject it, number one, because there's not a hint in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 that it's speaking about church ages. To the contrary, Revelation 1 and the following chapters make it clear that those were believers in seven cities in Asia Minor, so in Turkey area today, roughly. There's seven churches in Asia Minor and church of each city, and Jesus has a message for those churches. Just like Paul wrote to the Galatians or the Ephesians or the Philippians or to Timothy or to Titus, here are messages for the seven churches in Asia Minor. They were churches current in that day when John was writing, the end of the first century. That's number one. There's not a hint that it's church ages. Number two, how would you know where to divide it? If you're reading the Bible 1,000 years ago and thinking we're the final generation, then you'd say we're the Laodicean generation, and you divide the seven up to the first 1,000 years. If you're reading it 500 years later, and you're 1,500, you're dividing the seven into 1,500. Now we're dividing it into 2024. What if Jesus doesn't come for another 50 or 100 or 200 years? You have to keep redividing where the church ages fit, and it doesn't work. And then lastly, the church around much of the world is anything but Laodicea. It's more like Smyrna. I know your poverty and your afflictions, yet you're rich. The church in much of the world is impoverished financially. The church in much of the world is suffering great persecution. The church in much of the world is meeting in homes and small groups, and is the opposite of Laodicea. So how can the Laodicean church characterize the church at the end of the age, whereas the most growing, thriving churches around the world are the opposite of Laodicea? Not only so, but Laodicea has a promise from Jesus that he counsels them to buy salve for their eyes, they can see, in gold so they'll be rich, and garments to cover their nakedness. And then says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I'll come into him and sup with him, and he with me. So there's a promise of restored fellowship. So where does it say it's always only going to end on the bad side? What about Acts 2, where Peter quotes from Joel 3 or Joel 2:28 following in English and 3:1 following in Hebrew, and says, in the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit. Peter adds those words, in the last days. They're not there in the Hebrew or the Greek. He adds them to say, they're not there in the original Hebrew or the Greek translation, the Septuagint. He adds them. They're preaching in Pentecost at Shavuot, saying, in the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit. The outpouring on all flesh is for the last days. So on your sons and daughters, the great outpouring is promised for the end. In Romans 13, the end of that chapter says that the night is almost past, the day is at hand. In 1 John 2 says that the darkness is passing and the true light is shining. In other words, since Jesus came into the world, the light has been shining more and more and more and more, which is why some historians estimate by the end of the first century, maybe one out of every 360 people on the planet was a believer. Today, is it 1 in 6? In terms of those professing Christian faith, it's better than 1 in 4. God knows how many are true believers. But the gospel has spread and progressed through the centuries to this very moment. That's good news. God's on the move. Again, I do not expect the world to get completely righteous before Jesus returns. I do not expect society to get completely godly before Jesus returns. And as much as I'd love to see that happen, my assignment is for today and my lifetime. Your assignment is for today and your lifetime to make the impact you can for God. That's it. To leave things better than when you got them. Whatever your field is, whatever your calling is. If you say, I'm not doing anything significant, well, do you know the Lord? Yeah, well, then you can be a witness. Do you know the Lord? You can pray. Do you know the Lord? You can be a decent human being. Do you know the Lord? You can help somebody in need. So, yeah, I want to see the whole thing happen. Jesus returns, all the promises fulfilled. But either way, if I don't live to see that, I want to be faithful to this assignment, knowing that in every generation, more light is ultimately shining around the world. More people are coming to faith. Israel is getting closer to its final destiny. And we are getting closer to seeing the kingdom of God come here on the earth when Jesus returns. So I'm encouraged, not discouraged. It's a battle. It's difficult. It's deep. It's painful. But the good news is God is on the move. Right. Let's see. Look at some interesting phone calls. We'll get to them on the other side of the break. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name. Not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world. God's people standing up saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together. And we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate monthly support, thelineoffire.org. Click donate monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount on our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Did you get my frontline newsletter over the weekend? We really poured into it. Inspirational message on dreaming God-sized dreams. Pictures from our team ministering to Muslims in the Middle East. Amazing testimony from a former Palestinian Muslim. And a Hebrew word study. Long excerpt on Jesus the Radical from one of my books. You didn't get it? No? After me asking like a million times, encouraging you to sign up for our frontline newsletter? Okay, we got another one coming out next month, plus every week, key updates, videos, articles, right what you need, the world you're living in. We're there to equip you, empower you to stand strong on the front line. So go to our website, thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Sign up for our frontline newsletter today, and we'll put you on our welcome tour. You will be blessed. Share more about my testimony from LSD to PhD, and then the three R's of our ministry: revival in the church, gospel-based moral culture revolution in society, and the redemption of Israel. That's what our heart beats for. So if you're not getting our newsletter or emails, sign up today, thelineoffire.org. All right, with that, we are going to go right to the phone, starting with Laura in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, thank you. Forgive me, my phone's acting up. So can you hear me all right?
Right now I can.
Okay, that'll work. Uh-oh, about 5 minutes. I had this on my wall since September 2013 and going through similar struggles past as you did. But this kept sticking, it kept sticking out to me, and I read it every day. 2 Timothy 4:5, but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. And the other is, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear them who is able to destroy both the body and soul in hell, Matthew 10:28. I just pray that all of us stand strong, stand firm, because it's like Esther, you know, to be watching it right in front of our eyes, it blows my mind, so to speak.
Mm.
As far as standing firm, as far as, you know, protecting our children, our unborn, they are precious. And so we have to keep, for many reasons, we have to stand firm and stand against, you know, come what may.
Yeah, so. And you know what I appreciate, Laura? You have those verses in front of you on a regular basis. Right now, no one is putting a gun to your head or my head and threatening us with death if we profess Jesus, as is the case in other parts of the world. And yet, it's the reminder that we serve God, not people. It's the reminder that we fear God, not people, that helps us also in the little things. Helps us just in our job not to be ashamed of Jesus. Helps us in our school not to hide our convictions. And, you know, if we often think, well, if I was in that case, and they put a gun to my head and say, deny Jesus or you die, I would be strong. Well, no, if we're weak now, if we don't take a stand because we don't want to lose friends on Facebook, we're not going to be willing to lose our lives on that day. Conversely, if God can give us courage to stand in the midst of real persecution and real threats to our lives, if he could give us the strength to do that, then surely he can give us the strength to stand in these smaller things. So I appreciate you calling and sharing those scriptures with us. As you know, you're affirming what we say, that we're here to help you stand strong on the front lines. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Praying for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And boy, I appreciate your prayers. You hear me full of joy, full of confidence, overflowing, and that's reality. I'm not putting on a show, but the attack is real. The pressure is real. Sometimes it's ugly. Look, you live in this world too. You know what I'm talking about. And it's God's grace that sees us through. All of you who pray for me, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I mean that. All right, let us go over to Jeff in Massachusetts. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you very much. Now, as far as what I'm going to say is concerned, this is what I believe. I don't think the rapture will happen in our lifetime. I hope it does, but I don't think it's going to. There's a doctrine, I coin it, the imminent rapture doctrine. One of the biggest dangers is that the born-again churches are teaching their people pretty much, hold on to the edge of your seats, the rapture's going to happen immediately. We won't go through heavy-duty persecution like in these other countries. Like when Rehoboam told the Israelites that I'm going to add to your yoke. Well, we're going to have the yoke added to us as Americans, and we're going to go through a lamentation-style persecution from other countries. Why aren't the born-again churches preparing their flock for heavy-duty persecution, and why is the imminent rapture doctrine being preached?
Yeah, Jeff, to answer those questions, number one, people preach imminent rapture because they believe that's what Scripture teaches, that he could come at any moment. So we won't debate that. That's not my view or your view. But they teach it because they believe it. For some, it is an escapism. It's a way out before suffering. For others, they genuinely believe that's what Scripture teaches. And that's why they teach it, you know, and he's going to come like a thief in the night and always be ready. What I know for sure is that every generation that has said Jesus was coming in their lifetime, they've all been wrong, 100%. And every person in every generation has died. So that we know, that death is going to happen, and it could happen to any of us at any time. So we live ready to be with the Lord, right? Whatever we're doing, we don't say, well, I won't die for 5 years. I can just sin. No, we love the Lord, and we live ready to meet him at any time. So to me, that's just being ready for his return. I'm ready to meet him at any time. But the bigger question is, why aren't we doing more to talk about it? Why don't we talk more about the persecuted church in other parts of the world, right? In other words, right now, currently, why don't we talk more about the suffering church in the rest of the world? Why isn't that part of our regular spiritual awareness here in America? Why is it maybe once a year that we'll have a day to pray for the persecuted church? This is something that should always be in our consciousness. If not every, well, you could make a case for every service, every time we gather, that we pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters. I mean, wouldn't you expect that? If you were the one being tortured, if you were the one being thrown in prison for your faith right now, if you were the one watching your children being taken away from you, if you were the one watching your neighbors killed for the faith, wouldn't you think your brothers and sisters in other parts of the world would be praying for you? Especially if this is happening to thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions over the years around the world. It's just because it's not happening in our backyard on the same level, Jeff, we're basically oblivious to it. And because we just somehow think it could never happen here, we're oblivious to it. The question is, where does the Bible say it will never happen in America? And doesn't the Bible tell us consistently to have an attitude of being strong in the midst of persecution and opposition, knowing that that could well happen? 2 Timothy 3:12, all those who live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. John 15:18, if the world hates you, Jesus said, remember it hated me first. Matthew 5:10, blessed, truly happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 10:24, if the master of the house is called Beelzebub, how much more the servants? Matthew 10:24 and 25, that the servant said above his master. If the master of the house has been called Beelzebub, what about the rest of us? On and on with verse after verse about suffering for the Messiah. John 16:33, in this world, you'll have tribulation, but be encouraged. You have good heart. I've overcome the world. This is the reality, and to not have it on as heavy a level here in America is the exception. So, yeah, we should be aware. We should be praying for our persecuted brothers and sisters and do a better job of equipping our people to stand strong here. Let us go over to Richard in Louisiana. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Mr. Brown, Dr. Brown. I had a question about, you know, sins in the last days and redemption and kind of my situation. It's kind of weird. I have some horrible sins in my past, horrible perversions and pornography type of things, and some of it's child pornography. And it's pretty bad, and there's other things, but
all right, Richard, just because you're mentioning these things here, let me say it's imperative that you sit down with your pastor if you're in a church, and just tell him whatever's been going on. Jesus died for all of our sins. All of our sins can be forgiven. And every one of us in some way is in perverse rebellion against God without Jesus. Without Jesus, there's something horrific in all of us. It could be pride. It could be greed. It could be anger. It could be hatred. It could be sexual sin. It could be perversion of some kind. That's why Jesus died. That is to recognize your sins as being ugly is very, very important. It's the beginning of repentance. When you talk about certain things like this that do break laws, I don't know the extent of things, and it's not right for me to engage in that discussion on the air here with stranger to stranger. If you are not part of a congregation, ask your friends if any of them go to a solid church and go in and talk with the leadership there and tell them what's been going on. I don't know if there are things where the law has been broken, in which case that would need to be reported. I don't know the extent of any of this, but for sure, you can be forgiven. Even if you broke the law and there are consequences for that, you can still be spiritually forgiven. Jesus died for every one of your sins, the most grotesque, horrific, things unimaginable that you're so ashamed of. Jesus died for that. That's why he died such a shameful death, to take the worst of our sins on his shoulders. You can be completely forgiven, washed clean, and lead a new life. And with proper ministry put in place in your life, you can be free and lead a productive life. But it's very, very important that this is handled face to face with a professional who can help you take these next steps, just because of the nature of what you're saying. So, Lord, I pray for this man. I pray for this man that you would intervene in his life and bring him to a place of complete forgiveness, mercy, salvation, deliverance. And if he's crossed lines, may he come clean about those. May he make those things right, that Jesus would be glorified in him. Amen. Thank you, sir, for the call. And I hope you understand why I was not going to have that conversation on the air there. This is something that needs to be dealt with face-to-face with a professional that can help.
Are you experiencing fatigue, heart palpitations, or tingling in your hands and feet? These may be signs that you are deficient in vitamin B12, which may increase your risk of serious cardiovascular conditions without you even knowing it. I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health and director of wellness services at Trivita, and I have some exciting news for you. Introducing Trivita's HCY Guard, the breakthrough sublingual B12 natural supplement, scientifically formulated to support maximum absorption and support healthy levels of homocysteine. What is homocysteine, you may ask? Well, it's an amino acid that, when elevated, can cause damage to the lining of your arteries, which over time increases your overall risk for a cardiovascular event. Trivita's HCY Guard is highly absorbable because of its sublingual form and because of its methylated form of B12, which enhances its bioavailability, maximizing its crucial role in reducing unhealthy levels of homocysteine. And here's the best part. The B12 and other active ingredients in Trivita's HCY Guard support healthy energy production, brain function, nerve function, and enhancing your overall well-being. So if you're ready to take charge of your heart health and support your body's natural defenses against artery damage, then get your pack of Trivita's HCY Guard today.
To order HCY Guard for yourself or someone you care about, go to Trivita.com, spelled T-R-I-V-I-T-A, and use promo code BROWN25 for 25% off your order. Or call 1-800-771-5584. That's 1-800-771-5584. These statements are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. It's President's Day. A lot of offices are closed. I thought some of you might be off from work today and able to call in that normally couldn't. So I decided to open the phones like we do on Friday. We got a whole lot of ground to cover this week, a lot of things happening in the world around us that we want to talk about. But today, we did some teaching out of the Word, and now we'll go back to the phones. Let's go over to Massachusetts. Bob, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Michael. This is, you just said it, Bob.
I said it.
I spoke with you almost 1 year ago now. I was pretty upset when I talked to you, and you suggested your son-in-law's book to me, and so we're a year down the road now. I was really struggling.
Hang on. If I remember, I talked to a lot of people. I suggested my son-in-law's book, Living Loved, and it was just the assurance of salvation in your own life.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
I do. The call made an impression on me, Bob, for whatever it's worth. I remember it a year later. So please, I'm all ears, sir.
All right. So I'm a year down the road now. I'm really pressing in on the Holy Spirit. It's something I've never thought much about. I've only ever just thought about Jesus, and I'm pressing in on the Holy Spirit to know and understand more. We're 42 years into asking Christ to come into my life now. And so my confusion about it right now is I'm not sure I really grasp the difference between a guy who's just out there trying to live a better life and to not do sins that he's struggled with or to, you know, eat better or, you know, yet all these things. What's the difference between this guy who's never heard of Christ and me, who's filled with the Holy Spirit, as I understand it? I mean, Josh McDowell told me in person many years ago, it's not a matter of how much of the Spirit you have, Bob. It's a matter of how much of the Spirit has you. How much, you know, it's not a matter of getting more Holy Spirit. It's about surrendering to the Holy Spirit. So I'm not sure I really understand the Holy Spirit enough to, because I feel like I lack the power to really make decisions, even if it's just over food. If I can't conquer a cookie, how am I going to conquer much more huge spiritual issues, you know, that I have to fight?
Got it. Well, thanks for your candor, Bob. And by the way, conquering a cookie was harder for me than conquering drugs, actually. And I needed God's intervention because, food is something we have to have every day. Drugs or alcohol, other things we don't.
Exactly.
So sometimes food addictions can be some of the toughest. But here's what I have prayed many a time. The difference, first let me answer the question. The difference between someone who's just trying to do good and us is that we are doing it first out of relationship with God, right? In other words, it's not just I'm doing it because I think it's a good thing, but because I love the Lord, because he lives in me, he saved me, and he's forgiven me. And by the way, I'll put you back on to speak in a moment. There's a ton of background noise, so I'm just going to answer you, then I'll come back to you. But you're still on the air with me, all right? So we are doing this in relationship. My whole life is lived with a consciousness that it's the Lord and me, that it's not just me. Even though when I get up in the morning, it's me getting out of bed, and when I brush my teeth, it's me brushing my teeth, and all of that. When I get in the car to drive to the radio, it's me driving. I understand that, but there's always a sense that it's us together in a deeper way. And what I do out of relationship with God. I don't do it simply because he calls me to, but because it's pleasing to him and I want to honor him. And out of relationship, we do it together. But I have often prayed this. I've often prayed for God to demonstrate the power of his Spirit in me. I'm reading a great book by Randy Clark now, Intimacy with God. Intimacy with God, where he ties the miraculous demonstration of the Spirit through us to our relationship with God and intimacy, that everything flows out of that intimate relationship with God and the Spirit works through us. So many times I look at my life and I know I've been radically changed, dramatically set free from drugs 52 plus years ago, dramatically set free from unhealthy eating habits 9.5 years ago, dramatically changed in many, many other ways. Many testimonies where I've seen God's power work through me, but other times I just feel like I'm natural. And I'm saying, God, show me, demonstrate the power of your spirit in me. And I've prayed that. I had to pray at Bob to get free from food because I was so addicted to unhealthy foods. I had said, God, this, you're the same God that set me free from drugs. Demonstrate the power of the resurrection in me. So, Bob, sometimes it's just a cry that goes up from your heart. Now, you do what you know how to do. You participate. You contribute. But just a prayer, oh, God, demonstrate the power of your spirit in me. We should be different. There should be a self-control we have, a power over sin that's different than our status in the world or the status of someone else just trying hard. And if we're not experiencing it, I'd say, God, demonstrate it. God, demonstrate it through me and help me to renew my mind that it's not just me alone, but that you are working in me. And that's how I would approach this, which leads me to a question, though. Have you received any peace at all in your heart that your sins are forgiven and that you're a child of God?
Yes, but most like unbelievably with heavy, heavy tears. Just 2 weeks ago, sitting in a movie theater watching opening of season 4 of The Chosen, and God just spoke to me that you are forgiven. You're forgiven, Bob. I had to get up and leave before the end of the movie. I had to walk out of the theater.
Come on.
I was bawling so hard. Yes, sir. And I knew that's only 2 weeks ago. I feel like I've made strides since we talked, you know, and just, I'm kind of like, I'm going to push in on you like Jacob, you know, with them. I'm not letting you go, God. I know I wouldn't even care to have this wrestling match if you weren't still fighting for me, you know?
Yes. So, yes. But, listen, I can only tell you that the people who've lived through agony like you have, so many years of uncertainty and pain, and am I a child of God? Am I forgiven? That when you break through, the breakthroughs can be tremendously profound. And if there's a book that would inspire you in a very supernatural way, you know, the book I mentioned, I was reading Randy Clark, Intimacy with God, where it talks, you know, on the one hand, you'll read it and think this is completely out of reach. But then you realize it's just regular people that he's talking about who've seen a supernatural God work in their lives. So yes, God is fighting for you, or otherwise you wouldn't be fighting the same with me. We wouldn't be standing if he wasn't standing for us. But if you just pray this.
So Michael, something you said earlier that I have prayed, it was that, you know, in terms of trying to understand what God is doing and what I'm just struggling to do, I said, God, I want to see something that can only be explained by you. That's what I'm looking for.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, sir. So keep praying that, and he will do it. He will do it. Okay. Even, you know, touching you the way he did after all these years of prayer, you've seen other movies, you've seen other things about Jesus, you've read books, right. And then you have this right. Deep encounter. So don't let anything steal that from you. When, of course, it's written in the Word that you're forgiven, but you've had this experience in the Spirit to back it. So let's just trust that we continue to hear and see good. And I'm truly glad, Bob. Obviously, we've had many thousands of calls in the history of this show. Yours was one of the more painful calls to me. It's been so long.
It was hard for me.
Yeah, and you were in such pain. That's why I remember it a year later. So thank you for calling back, and let's continue to believe for great fruit and joy in your relationship with God in the days ahead. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Praise God.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful to hear? Praise God, Lord. Do something so wonderful in him that he won't even recognize himself. Give him wings to fly. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, boy. Okay. I don't have time to get into these deep questions. Oliver, may I encourage you about women being silent, what Paul said on that, to just go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org, and search there for women or women in ministry or women pastors. See what I've said about that, taught about that, watch some of the videos. If that doesn't answer your question, feel free to call in on another day. And T in Florida, man, I would have loved to talk to you, just not time to do it. I'm sure you've read my book, Not Afraid of the Antichrist, written together with Craig Keener, Why We Don't Believe in a Pre-Tribulation Rapture. This is not to divide my brothers and sisters. Some of the finest Christians I know on the earth believe in a pre-trib rapture. The people who prayed me into the kingdom believe in a pre-trib rapture. I don't divide over it, but it's what I see taught in Scripture. And I believe it's something we need to really look at and consider and reevaluate where we stand on Scripture. And above all, understand how no matter what happens in this world, we are called to be overcomers. No matter what happens in this world, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Come what may, come what tribulation come, come what Antichrist may come, come what opposition may come, we are more than conquerors. And when God's wrath is put on the world, He will shield those who know Him. All right, great being with you. Can't wait to rejoin tomorrow on the Line of Fire. God bless you.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.